Father in heaven, we thank you that your Son is the Lord of the Sabbath. We thank you for blessing us with this new Sabbath day. And we are blessed also with freedom to do good. We find joy in worshiping you. We find joy in worshiping your Son, your only begotten Son, who gave his life, that we might find life through his death. May Jesus Christ be praised. Eternal God, we thank you for providing our daily needs, for leading us each step of the way. Help us, we pray, to use this hour wisely. Help us to wait. Help us to experience your nearness and rest and renewal. Speak to us with your Spirit, we ask. And may the prayer that Jesus taught us be the words of song in our hearts and minds. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There is no doubt that Jesus recognized that he was the long-awaited Messiah. He claimed authority for himself, and he did not hesitate to assert that he alone was able to give spiritual significance to the law that was given through Moses. And the people were astonished. Jesus, in effect, said that the Pharisees and the scribes had misinterpreted the Ten Commandments. He said that the law itself was primarily spiritual, not physical. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave us a list of characteristics that followers of Jesus should strive to be, to have. We should strive to be followers who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We should be believers who experience the promises made by Jesus in our daily lives. Now, I want you to use your ability to reason and ask yourself a question. Do you need knowledge of the Ten Commandments in order to have the characteristics taught by Jesus during his Sermon on the Mount? Hold on to that thought. The Jews were hopeful that the long-awaited Messiah would soon arrive and abolish the Mosaic Law. The Messiah was expected to be an apocalyptic figure who would come upon the world scene suddenly. Jesus was disconnected from their past, and he brought a new direct revelation from God. The people looked at him with great anticipation, and they hoped that he would usher in a new era for Israel, and that he would abolish the burdensome religious regulations. They believed the Messiah would usher in a new way of thinking and living, a new government. No one before had ever heard anyone teach the way Jesus taught. If you had been there at the Sermon on the Mount, and being a student of Scripture, you could easily have thought to yourself, no law is needed for this kind of teaching. If I get on board with Jesus, then I don't need the law of Moses. From the way Jesus started his message that day, it certainly would have been an easy conclusion to make that Jesus was going to get rid of the Mosaic law. But then Jesus said something that must have poured cold water on even the most fervent revolutionaries who were listening. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." The people were tired of the burdensome, oppressive regulations and the tradition created by the religious leaders. People wanted a change. But here, early in his ministry, Jesus sent a clear signal that he did not come to do away with the law at all. The people must have been confused and very disappointed. The Mosaic law was simply a parenthesis in salvation history. Do you know what a parenthesis is? The text within a parenthesis can be left out of a sentence without changing the meaning of a sentence. One of our popular translations called the Amplified Bible uses this technique over and over again. The content of a parenthesis simply makes the meaning of a sentence clearer. The Mosaic law established a parenthetical time period. It was part of God's plan, but the reality was that the law could never be fulfilled. It was and is impossible to follow the Mosaic law perfectly. The religious law created a lot of religious people, but it was a heavy burden for the people of Israel from the start. So Jesus first fulfilled the Mosaic law, and then he put an end to it. The law was a 1,500-year parenthesis. The law and the prophets pointed to a person who was yet to come. And Jesus said, "I am that person." Jesus said, "I have come to fulfill the law." And he kept his word. He upheld the standard of morality that the law demanded. He was the first person and the only person who walked on planet Earth able to fulfill the law without ever committing a sin. And yet, even though he lived a sinless life, he received the death penalty. Paul said it so well. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Part of my initiation to the world of movies when I was a boy was Cecil B. DeMille's production of The Ten Commandments, 1956, I believe. I didn't watch it then, but early in the 1960s. I learned from that movie and from the Sunday school class that I attended for a few years how the Ten Commandments were introduced with signs and wonders. It was about 1,500 BC, through God's guiding and miraculous power, the Israelite people escaped from Egypt and they were encamped at the foot of Mount Sinai. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud, so the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." Exodus 19, verse 9. We know the story. Lightning and thunder followed. There was a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Mount Sinai was covered in smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. The sights and the sounds of the trumpet were so terrifying that even Moses said that he trembled with fear. That verse is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 21. So what was all this about? Why did Moses tremble? Was the Lord upset with Israel? Yes. In fact, he was more than upset. He was more than annoyed. In fact, the Lord God became very angry with Israel. We're not going through the whole story, but just listen to these words from Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. Moses speaking. "Then once again I fell prostrate before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. I ate no bread and drank no water because of all the sin you had committed, doing what was evil in the Lord's sight, and so provoking him to anger. I feared the anger and wrath of the Lord, for he was angry enough with you to destroy you." That's really angry. We know the Apostle Paul surely read these words from the Old Testament. And then Paul, in one of his letters, gave us the reason that God gave the law in the first place. So let's read in Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, what Paul wrote about this event. "Why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised." There's that parenthesis. God gave his law through angels, hence all the thunder and lightning and smoke, etc. God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Why do we have the Ten Commandments? Paul told us that we have the Ten Commandments today because of Israel's sin. So in a way, you can say, or we can say, that we have benefited from Israel's sin. Israel needed to be restrained, and now we still have the benefit of the Ten Commandments. One can argue that had Israel not been so wicked, the Ten Commandments would not have been penned by the hand of God at all. But because of the sins of ancient Israel, God stepped in to protect them from themselves. Without the restraint of the Ten Commandments, the people of Israel would likely have destroyed themselves. They were a wicked people. The Ten Commandments and the entire Mosaic Law were God's idea. The Ten Commandments came directly from God, not from Moses. Only God could have come up with moral laws so well and concisely written that in 3,500 years, they have never been improved upon. I don't think I've got... Oh, yeah. Like them or not, the Ten Commandments, God knew what his people needed. He knows what we need, as the psalmist wrote. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are only dust. God's law is perfect. The Ten Commandments are moral and ethical expectations from God for his people, but we cannot be saved by the Ten Commandments. There is nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. However, they are inferior to what Jesus taught during his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus taught that our human nature can be changed through the power of the Holy Spirit. During his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave one application after another, showing how the Holy Spirit can take a person and lead a person to outclass the law. And there are many other things that Jesus said that he did not directly elaborate on in his Sermon on the Mount that are found in other portions of the New Testament. Words that show a love for God not commanded in the Ten Commandments. Big example. Take the matter of rejoicing in the Lord. There is nothing in the Ten Commandments that would lead you to rejoice in the Lord. There isn't even a hint. The Ten Commandments are inferior when compared to the righteousness we learn to embrace when we follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is because the Ten Commandments cannot produce an inward righteousness, only an outward show of doing the right thing. An inward righteousness comes from the heart. An outward righteousness is seen. An outward righteousness is what you do grudgingly from a fear of punishment. When the Ten Commandments were given, the motivation for keeping them was out of the fear of punishment. And people today are still, in a way, like those ancient Israelites, if you think about it. Okay, when you wait in your car at a red light with no other traffic around, why do you sit there waiting for the light to turn green? Especially at night when there are no other cars around and you're worried about a carjacking. It goes through my mind every time. Should I sit here? I feel exposed. I'm stuck at this red light. It's easy to explain why I choose to sit there, even though I feel so exposed. There might be a hidden camera that will take my picture, or a police cruiser hidden around the corner, just out of sight. So we stay put because we might get caught. The fear of punishment works. And that is how the ancient law was enforced. It was an outward righteousness carried out grudgingly. The law was not written in the hearts of the people. There is no way that any person can even come close to keeping the law. Jesus knew that. And he knew that humanity needed a redeemer and a way to be conformed to God's nature. And that way is through the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to change our very nature. Now I have another question. Who in the Old Testament was presented as our model? Who is the one person whose life stands as pleasing in the sight of God? It wasn't Moses. The model is Abraham. And Abraham lived 500 years before the law was given. His life was pleasing to God without the law. He lived a godly life without the law. It was pleasing to God. Paul said that we are not under the law. Why? Because now we go back to Abraham. The Ten Commandments are an extra. They were added. Once we trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross, we are, in effect, put back into Abraham's position. He believed God's promises, and he was saved before there was ever such a thing as the Ten Commandments written down. The Mosaic Law, along with the Ten Commandments, were imposed on the ancient Israelites for their own good. They were on the verge of losing their way entirely. God had a plan for those people that included the shedding of blood on that first Passover evening, just before their incredible exodus from Egypt. However, as the writer of Hebrews concluded in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Can't be more straightforward than that. Jesus ended the sacrificial system that God had imposed on the Israelites. On the cross, he offered once for all the final sacrifice. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. Before God gave Israel the law, Abraham's faith was recognized by God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. And then through the Messiah, the plan of salvation was given as though there had never been the law in the first place. We are saved by faith alone. And so Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You and I are saved in the same way. We are not saved because we keep the Ten Commandments. Let me think about these doctrinal truths that are so powerful. We are not saved because we keep the Ten Commandments well. We're not saved because we don't do some objectionable actions. No, we are saved because Jesus performed all that his Father required so that our faith can be credited as righteousness, just as what happened to Abraham. We are saved by faith alone, just as Abraham was saved by faith alone. So the logical question then becomes, are the Ten Commandments still relevant? Don't worry. My answer is this. Abraham was justified by faith. He walked in faith. The Ten Commandments were not given for another 500 years, but nonetheless, Abraham effectively followed them within his godly life. If Abraham had seen the Ten Commandments, despite his imperfections, he would have said, well, that is the way I try to live my life. Those laws were written in his heart. The Ten Commandments are a backdrop by which we can partly measure if we are walking in the Spirit. If we walk by faith in the Spirit, we will strive to fulfill the Ten Commandments, even if we have never even read the Ten Commandments. And yet God knew that no person could keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. You can keep some of them outwardly. It is possible to never murder. It is possible never to commit adultery. It is possible to never misuse God's name, although I find that exceedingly rare in our culture and society. It is possible to never lie about your neighbor. I don't think my mother ever lied about her neighbor. But once you consider the 10th commandment, you shall not covet, and you understand its implications, you begin to see that you haven't really kept the first 9 commandments at all. That is the point Jesus made when he explained them in his Sermon on the Mount. The 10 commandments show us the righteousness that God requires. The 10 commandments show us the righteousness that Messiah Jesus fulfilled as our substitute. The 10 commandments serve as a backdrop for us by which we can tell if we are walking in the Spirit. Vastly improved upon by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. It is good to have the 10 commandments as a guide. The 10 commandments give us great wisdom. 10 commandments give great wisdom to any people in any culture, because the 10 commandments reflect order and protect, teach us to protect one another. This is why Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." So we might say that the 10 commandments benefited the entire world. The 10 commandments are a hint of how we should live our lives. They are an indicator of how we are walking in the Spirit, but they will never be the basis of our salvation. If you look to the 10 commandments to know whether you are saved, you will always doubt. So let me tell you how you can know that you are saved. When you put your trust in Jesus as your Savior, and when you say, "Jesus, I trust you, I trust what you did, I repent of my sins, and I ask you to forgive me because I believe that you died for me," then you will know that your faith is accredited as righteousness. Your sins will not be held against you, and you will be secure, and you will rest and be comforted knowing that you are a member of God's family. Amen. Hallelujah. Without him, how long?
could be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Do not turn Him away. Oh Jesus, without